This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
This is the story of the Fantastic Phillies, a team whose roots date back to the distant year of 1883, a team whose heritage is as rich as any team in Major League Baseball, but a team that had suffered through the longest period of barrenness in Major League sports, that is, until 1980.
Pitch on the way to Booney. He drops a bunt. It's fielded by the pitcher. Throw to the plate. Throw is wild. Phillies win the game.
Check swing, ground ball, third base. Schmidt plays to second. There's one. Back to first. Double play.
Here's Tug to the windup in the 2-2 pitch. Called third strike. He struck him out with a fastball right across the middle. He caught him looking. And Tug McGraw strikes out the side in the eighth inning.
Long drive to left field. He buried it. He buried it way back. Out of here. Home run. Mike Schmidt puts the Phillies up 6-4.
To be a Phillies fan in 1980 was something special, something that will live with the millions of loyal fans for many years to come. Over the years, generation after generation has followed the fortunes of this team. There were many memorable moments and many great players to be recalled. However, that ultimate moment of glory had always eluded them. Then in 1980, when no one expected it, it happened.
Willie Wilson standing in. A 1-2 pitch.
In retracing the Phillies' rise to glory, you have to go back to the date of August 31st, 1979, when Dallas Green was appointed manager. It was not a job he desired. It was not a job he intended to keep. His future lies in the Phillies' front office. However, Dallas Green was the right man for the task at hand. He had heard the stories of how the Phillies were a team of talent, but a team that lacked desire, a team that lacked heart. With job security the furthest thing from his mind, Dallas Green responded to the challenge. He made no outrageous promises. All he said was, if I keep yelling and screaming, they'll eventually be listening. And listen they did. When the 1980 season began, it was felt that Pittsburgh was the team to beat in the National League East, with the Montreal Expos offering a serious threat. The Phillies? Well, they're good, but you know that Philadelphia syndrome. Over the first couple of months, the experts appeared right on target, as Pittsburgh ruled the roost with Montreal in close pursuit. But by mid-June, the National League East race took on a new look as the Phillies made their move. On June 18th, they found themselves just one half game from the top when they snapped a ninth-inning 1-1 tie against San Diego en route to a 5-1 victory. Pinch hitter Keith Moreland led the way with a clutch double.
Pitch to Moreland. Swing and a long drive deep center field. Dana way back. This ball is off the top of the wall. Maddox scores. Boa scores. Phillies lead it 3-1 on a big pinch hit double by Keith Moreland.
Lefty Steve Carlton, a two-time Cy Young Award winner, appeared headed to another one of those years as he was rolling along at a blistering pace. On June 22nd, he picked up his eighth straight win to improve his overall record to 13-2. The Phillies broke the game open in the seventh with Lonnie Smith, Mike Schmidt, and Greg Luzinski leading the way.
Blues stretches. Here's the pitch to Schmidt, swinging a fly ball right field deep. Jack Clark going away back, can't get it, fair ball off the fence. Lonnie Smith rounding third, he'll score. Schmidt to third base with a triple, and it's a tie ball game. Pitch to Greg. Swing, line drive right field. It's caught by Clark. Schmidt tags. Clark's throw to the plate. Offline, Mike scores, and the Phillies lead it 4-3.
And Mike Schmidt is with us now, and Mike, big blow there in a good ball game.
Well, thank you. It was a good ball game. I'm very happy about this game, not only for Steve, I guess getting his 13th win, but this is the last game of the road trip. Give us a little momentum to go home with. We got some hitting out of the middle of our order, the guys that haven't been swinging too well lately.
Mike, the triple that you hit off the right field fence, did you feel like it was going to carry that far?
Definitely. You called it a fly ball, Harry. I'm not too appreciative of that.
The Phils were hanging tough, trailing the Expos by a couple of games. On June 30th, the Phils journeyed to Olympic Stadium to take on those Expos in a three-game series. In the opener, the Phillies hit Montreal with a 7-run fourth inning that resulted in a 7-5 victory. Keith Moreland and Pete Rose provided the bulk of the heroics in that big inning.
From the windup, the pitch on the way to Moreland. Here's a ball well hit to deep left field, way, way back. That ball is out of here. A grand slam home run for Keith Moreland. And the Phillies take a 4-0 lead. 2-1 pitch to Rose is a drive deep to right field. Office way, way back. That ball is out of here. Pete Rose has his first home run of the year. A two-run homer for Pete Rose, and the Phillies lead it 7-0.
The following night, the Phillies again defeated the Expos, this time in 11 innings. With the score tied at 3, Pete Rose plated one run, and the Montreal error would prove to be their undoing in this 5-4 Philadelphia win.
Pitch on the way to him, ground ball, base hit to left field. Gross is being waved around. Here's LaFleur's throw. It is offline. Phillies score. Throw to third. The ball gets away. Picking up and coming on in is going to be Booney, and he scores. Phillies get two runs.
At the All-Star break, the Phillies found themselves just one game from the top. One of the reasons for the Phillies' newfound success was the job turned in by rookie right-hander Bob Walk. One of those free spirits, Walk won his sixth straight on July 16th when he turned back the Houston Astros on 3 hits. Then the next night, the old master himself, Steve Carlton, did the rookie one better, allowing the Astros a mere 2 hits and winning his 15th game of the season.
Here's the stretch by Carlton. The 3-2 pitch. Ground ball, first base. Pete Rose has it. Run to the bag. Rose wins in front of the Phillies.
However, there were storm clouds on the horizon. The Phillies started to slip. On August 10th, they dropped a doubleheader to Pittsburgh. They were now in third place, 6 games off the pace. But Dallas Green kept screaming and the Phillies kept listening. On August 21st, they had crawled back to within a game and a half of the top, and they defeated the San Diego Padres in 17 innings. The game was finally resolved when Bake McBride tripled home Mike Schmidt.
Kenny's pitch. Here's a ball ripped into deep right center field. Winfield giving chase. So is Mumphrey. They can't get it. Schmidt had stopped at second base, but he's being waved around. Here comes the relay. Here comes Schmidt. He scores. Phillies win. 9-8. Phillies in 17. They win.
The Phillies eventually reached the top of the division on September 4th when home runs by Mike Schmidt and Greg Luzinski powered them to a 3-2 victory.
Very high fly ball deep to right field, way back, out of here, home run. Mike Schmidt has just hit his 7th career home run off Jerry Royce, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
Here's the 2-2 pitch.
Swing and a line drive left field, deep, it is out of here, home run. Greg Luzinski, a line homer into the bullpen and left. And the Phillies lead it 3-0 for the ball, his 17th.
It was becoming evident that this race was going right down to the finish. On September 8th, the Pittsburgh Pirates, struggling to stay in the race, were in Philadelphia for a 2-game series. In the opener, the Phillies downed the Pirates 6-2. Then the following night, they completed the sweep with a 14-inning, 5-4 victory.
Pitch on the way to Booney. He drops a bunt. It's fielded by the pitcher. Throw to the plate. Throw is wild. Phillies win the game. A heap at the plate as Maddox comes sliding into Watt. Gary is down in a heap. The Phillies have won the ball game 5-4 on the bunt by Bob Boone.
The next night, the Phillies were at Shea Stadium to take on the lowly New York Mets. Dallas Green took a gamble and sent rookie Marty Bystrom to the mound and came up a winner as the youngster hurled a 5-0 shutout in his first major league start.
Here's Elliot Maddox sending a fly ball center field. This ought to do it. Gary Maddox camping. He waits. He takes it. Marty Bystrom has pitched a 5-hit shutout, and the Phillies have won the ball game 5-0 to remain a half game behind the Montreal Expos.
Marty, congratulations on just a super job in your first start. You have to be very, very happy. Were you nervous at all at the beginning?
Well, just a little bit there, but not really. After throwing that one inning in L.A., I took all the nervousness away there, and I just felt comfortable and relaxed. Went out there and threw strikes tonight.
You appeared to have command of all your pitches.
Yeah, well, that's what helps me get these guys out up here. And everything worked out good.
Then the following evening, veteran Dick Ruthven notched victory number 15 as he downed the Mets 5-1.
The 2-0 pitch. Swing and a long drive, deep left field. Henderson back, out of here, home run. Mike Smith's 38th home run of the year. First hit of the ballgame for the Phils has put the Phillies on top, 1-0.
Pitch to McBride, swing, fly ball center field, Mookie Wilson there, makes the catch, Ruthven tagged, here's Wilson's throw, it is high in time as the ball, Ruthven hits the catcher Trevino just as the ball comes to Trevino, pops out of his glove, Ruthven scores and the Phillies lead it 2-1.
The 2-2 pitch, a shot to deep right center field, that ball is carrying well, that ball is not going to be caught. It'll be a ground rule double, and Gary Maddox will score the insurance run the Phillies were looking for. 3-1 Phillies on the ground rule double by Del Unser.
The set by Berenguer. Here's the 2-1 pitch to Rose.
Here's a hard hit ball through for a base hit, and two more runs are going to score. Pete Rose delivers a single up the middle, and the Phillies have busted it open here in the ninth inning. Two more runs cross the plate. The Phillies lead it 5-1.
The Phillies were hanging tough. But a mini slump found them 2.5 games behind after losing to Chicago on September 19th. However, the Expos were going into a mini slump of their own, and within 2 days, the Phils would be again just 1.5 game behind. On September 22nd, the Phillies pulled out a 3-2 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals in 10 innings, with rookie Keith Moreland providing the offensive heroics as Steve Carlton garnered win number 23. And Tug McGraw, notch save number 18.
Seaman ready with a 2-2 pitch. Fly ball right field, dropping quickly. Is it fair foul, a fair ball, extra bases. Bull is rounding third, he's going to score. And Moreland's in the second with a double. And the Phillies lead it 3-2 on Keith Moreland's pinch hit double down the right field line.
The Phillies return home on September 24th for their final homestand of the season. In the opener of the homestand, the Phillies and Mets were at a 0-0 standoff after the regulation 9 innings. Then in the 10th, Pete Rose snapped an 0-for-15 slump, and the Phillies had a 1-0 victory.
Neil Allen getting his sign, checks the runner at second. LaViglia with a long lead. The pitch, grounded up the middle. Through the middle, a base hit. LaViglia rounding third. He is going to score. The ball game is over. Pete Rose with a single, and the Phillies win it 1-0. Pete, was that the good curveball you hit there?
No, sir. The first pitch was a curveball, and I guess he thought I'd be looking for a curve. See, I don't know what they're going to do in that situation, Rich. I don't know if they're going to try to get me to go for a bad pitch or what, but the first one just, you know, ripped right off the table for a strike, and he came back with the fastball. And
so the beat went on. The next night, the Phillies moved into first place by a half game when they again beat the Mets 2-1. The game was scoreless in the fifth when the combined bats of Manny Trio, Gary Maddox, Larry Boa, and Lonnie Smith provided the two runs that it took to win.
Hit to the right field corner, giving chase is Washington. He can't get that ball. It's in play off the wall. Manny Trio round second. He's heading for third, and Manny will have a stand-up triple. Drive left field and a base hit. Run scores. Phillies lead it 1-0. Gary Maddox lines Jackson's first pitch to left field, and Gary has his 71st run batted in, and the Phillies have a lead. Jackson has his sign. And here's the pitch to him. Bouncing ball back the middle. It's through for a base hit. Larry Boa is going to score. Bystrom holds it second. Phillies lead the ball game 2-0 on a RBI single by Lonnie Smith.
Now the Montreal Expos were in town for a big three-game series. In the first game, the score was tied at 1-1 entering the bottom of the ninth inning when Bake McBride caught hold of a Dave Palmer pitch, and the Phillies led the division by a game and a half.
McBride stands in. He is singled in three at bats. Here's Palmer's pitch to him. Swing and a long drive. Deep right. It's got a chance. Out of here. Ball game's over. Phillies win 2-1. Bake McBride a home run. Phillies win it 2-1. Lead the East by a game and a half. Bake McBride bobbed at home plate by his teammates. What an ending to a great ball game!
However, the Expos came back to win the final two games of the series, and the Phillies were now down a half game. The issue would be resolved in the final week of the season. On September 29th, the Chicago Cubs were in town. They had a chance to play the Spoilers, and they were doing a good job of it. The game was tied at 3-3 when the Cubs scored two runs in the top of the 15th inning to take the lead. A loss could well have cost the Phils the division championship. But Gary Maddox and Manny Trio would not let that happen.
1-1 pitch. Swing and a base hit. Center field. Tie game. Gary Maddox, a two-out line drive single to center, and the Phils are still alive. It's 5-5 in the 15th. The 1-1 pitch. Swing and a ground ball. Base hit. Phillies win it 6-5. Maddox scores. Trio delivers with a ground single to center field. Phillies have come back to beat the Cubs 6-5 in 15 innings. The key blows, game tying two-out single by Maddox. And the game winning, two-out single by Manny Trio.
That win was the turning point for the Phillies. The Phillies wouldn't lose again until the National League East had been resolved. The Phils followed up that game with a 14-2 pounding of the Cubs. In the third game of the series, Steve Carlton recorded his 24th win of the season with a 5-0 blanking of Chicago. In the final regular season home game, the Phillies were to claw their way to a share of first place with the Expos.
On the way to Schmidt, swing and a long drive deep center field. Out of here, home run. Jack Schmidt has just set a personal high with his 46th home run of the year. Phillies have tied it at one.
The set by Caudill, pitch on the way. Line drive, center field, base hit. Unser being waved around. Here comes Martin's throw back in. Not in time, and the Phillies lead the ball game 2-1. Here's the one strike pitch to Bittner. Check swing, ground ball, third base. Schmidt plays to second. There's one, back to first. Double play! Phillies got the twin killing. They're out of trouble in the eighth inning.
So it was on to Montreal. The mission was now clear-cut. Win two out of three and become National League Eastern Division champs. The Phillies' destiny was in their own hands. In the first game, the Phillies went up by one.
Here's the 2-0 pitch. Fastball, long drive. Watch that, baby. Way out of here, home run. Michael Jack Schmidt has just tied Eddie Matthews' record for all-time homers by a third baseman in the season, number 47. Phillies lead it 2-0.
Carter back in. Here's Tug to the windup in the 2-2 pitch. Called third strike. He struck him out with a fastball right across the middle. He caught him looking, and Tug McGraw strikes out the side in the eighth inning.
Back at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, Harry Callis with you, where the Phillies have downed the Expos by a score of 2-1. Brilliant pitching tonight by Dick Ruthven, Sparky Lyon, especially Tug McGraw. Tug going the last two innings, striking out five of the six men he faced. So the Phillies have a game lead on Montreal. Tug, 20th save of the year. You look like you had outstanding stuff tonight.
Harry, it's strange. It really is. This game of baseball is weird. Warming up tonight, I felt a little bit stiff, maybe because of the coolness of the weather up here. I was extremely nervous. Once I got out on the field, everything seemed to be real calm, and the pitches just seemed to come from nowhere. I really didn't feel as though I had really great stuff tonight. I think when you feel that way, Harry, it makes you concentrate all that much more, and it makes you work on your mechanics and make sure you do everything right.
Tug, it looked to me like you caught a couple of hitters looking for the scroogey and zip that fastball.
Well, you know, Harry, like I said earlier, I just really didn't feel as though I had overpowering stuff. And so what Booney and I did was try to mix up the pitches a lot. I shook off a whole bunch of signs. I kept shaking my head. Sometimes he'd give me the pitch I wanted, and I'd shake my head until he'd come back to it. Just to try to use everything we could to try to keep the hitters from sitting on any one particular pitch, I think they were really aware of the screwball tonight. And actually, the eighth inning, I did make some real good pitches with the screwball. As it turned out, in the ninth, they were all sitting on the screwball, and I was able to get them with the fastball and the slider. So tonight was one of those nights where fortunately everything worked out real well.
Then in game two, after an eternal rain delay, the Phillies said to themselves, let's get this thing over.
The pitch to Boone. Back through the middle. Base hit. Here's Blake McBride.
being waved around. Here's the throw. It's going to be way off target. Boone goes into second. Phillies have tied the game.
The pitch to Schmidt.
Long drive to left field. He buried it. He buried it way back. Out of here. Home run. Mike Schmidt puts the Phillies up 6-4. Oh, what a drive by Schmidt. Unbelievable. He hit that thing deep to the seats in left field. And the Phillies greet Schmidt at the plate. Mike clasps his hands. He shakes hands with all of his teammates. What a wild scene in Montreal.
Here's the guy, Bob Boone, who got the base hit in the ninth inning of the game. Never would have gone over time. And Booney, it's been a scuffling year for you. This has to make you feel pretty good.
Feels great, Rich. I really came up here feeling very confident in this series. I just feel like with Tug out there, we just got the magic. And, you know, with all the controversy and all the frustrations that we've experienced, this is super. It's still the first stopping point for us. And we've had a goal all year to not only get to the playoffs, but to go on past them. So we're ready. And we got the big guy going with 2 extra days rest. It's going to be really important to us. I'm just excited about it. We want to get in that series.
Michael Jackson, you just drove Harry Kellis crazy with that home run. Buddy, this has been quite a year. Nice going, buddy.
Thank you, Rich.
How do you feel?
Without a doubt, I feel as good as I've ever felt in my life. Booney got the biggest hit of his career, and Gary against the Cubs, I think, initiated this whole week for us with that hit that he got with 2 outs.
Well, here's the guy, Tug McGraw, and Tug, day after day, I have never seen a relief pitcher pitch the way you have, buddy. Beautiful.
Richie, I tell you, this is a ball. I didn't know that last inning whether I was ever going to be able to get it to the catcher or not. Today was an 8 Tylenol day. That rain delay got up this morning and took three more when the game finally started, and then going out for the last inning, had to pump down a couple more, and we got it up there.
I believe you're going to get a day off tomorrow, Tug, and I believe we can safely tell the fans they can stay out tonight. They don't have to get their
rest. Yeah, you don't have to get your rest tonight, but I'll tell you what, Phyllis and Grandma, Dad, Uncle Hank, and Mark and Carrie, save some champagne for when we get home. We'll have a party together.
Paul Owens now is here. Pope, God love you. Vice President, General Manager of the Phillies, this is your 4th division crown. How does this one feel compared to the other?
Yeah, I like this one better. The other years I kind of felt we might do it, and this year we had our ups and downs early with our pitching, and I just get a special one out of this one. Our guys have fought like hell. I think it's September, and we won all our games in a row. And they could talk about having a little trouble down at the clubhouse, but these guys all want to win. I'll guarantee you that.
It's pretty evident right now, isn't it? Dick Rufin is here. Rufus winning the big game last night.
Buddy.
How does this one feel, Rufus?
This feels great. I mean, it's just all the adversity and everything for 6 months, and then to come in and do it. And I'll tell you what, we can't say enough for Tug and Marty in the month of September as far as the pitching staff. I mean, we just made it for
us. Pete Rose has just joined us. Pete's been talking to 1,000,001 writers, and Pete, you've been through it before, but what a ball game. What a win. What a division championship.
Well, I think it was more like a 3-ring circus today, Harry, and it was a ball game, but they battled us tough, and Booney got a key hit for us, and of course, Schmidt hit his 48th home run, and he's been hot this week, and our pitching was excellent again, and we could stand here all day and talk about Tugger, because as far as I'm concerned, he's the best reliever in the league right now. So what do you think?
Petey, I don't think there's any question about it. Let me tell you, you're a walking encyclopedia of every game that's ever been played and every game you've ever been involved in. I want to see you replay this one time in 10 years.
I know who made the errors. I know that. But, we were trying to be too aggressive on the bases today. I think some of us forgot that the turf was wet. Just like when Schmidt hit the base at the left field and Lee held me up, they thought I was going. I don't know what Schmidt and Greg were doing on Greg's base at the center field, but they looked like they had a baton, so it looked like in a relay race or something. That's a hell of a race, isn't it? Was this he giving a baton to Schmidt?
So the Phillies were East Division champions. But they had been in the same position in 1976, 77, and 78. Could they overcome that worn-out jinx of not being able to win in postseason play? They were ready. The fantastic Phillies were in the playoffs. Could they lick that terrible curse that had seemingly been cast upon them? Before Game 1, much was made of the fact that the Phillies had won only one postseason game in Philadelphia in their history. That was on October 8, 1915, when Grover Cleveland Alexander beat the Boston Red Sox 3-1 in the opener of the World Series. Now it was October 7, 1980, almost 65 years to the day. It was time to end that famine. Their opponent was the scrapping Houston Astros, who had won the National League West some 24 hours earlier in a divisional playoff game with the Los Angeles Dodgers. After an all-night flight from Los Angeles, the Astros figured to be a little weary for Game 1. However, it surely didn't appear that way. The pitching matchups pitted Ken Forsch against Steve Carlton. Lefty, a 24-game winner during the regular season, was shaky as he struggled to find his rhythm. The Astros nicked him for a run in the third, but it could have been more. But Carlton, being the competitor that he is, battled his way out of jam after jam. For that matter, all the Phillies were battling. History was not on their side. Finally, in the sixth, their efforts were rewarded.
3-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. There she goes. Way out of here. Home run. Greg Luzinski.
For the moment, it appeared as though the monkey was off their back. And in the seventh, the Phillies made it a 3-1 game.
Here is a little looper, shallow left field. It's dropping. It's in for a hit. Maddox scores. Phillies lead the ball game 3-1. Greg Gross drops a looping single into shallow left, and the Phillies have an insurance run.
Out of the bullpen came Tug McGraw for the final two innings, and he simply shut the door on Houston, and the Phillies had a 3-1 victory in the first game of this best-of-five series. However, the Astros bounced back the next night to even the series at a game apiece with a 7-4 victory in 10 innings. Now the scene shifted to the spacious Astrodome in Houston, Texas. In Game 3, the Astros eked out a 1-0 victory in extra innings to take a 2-1 lead in the series. Suddenly, history was staring in the Phillies' faces again. Would they fail once more in postseason play? Game 4 of this series was one that will live in baseball history. Just about everything imaginable occurred in this game. In the fourth, with the game scoreless, the Astros pulled off what they thought was a triple play, but turned out to be a double play.
1-2 pitch, broken bat, one hopper to the pitcher. He throws the first. Out at first base is Gary Maddox. Broken bat, one hopper. Maddox is out. Now Houston arguing that they might...
I don't know what the argument was. That ball was the short hop, Harry. I don't either. That was not... Byrne Rule even doesn't think that he caught the ball. That was a short hop.
Maddox is out at first. Everybody else is safe.
Wait a minute.
What's Harvey ruling?
Wait a minute.
A triple play? No way. They're ruling a triple play. They're ruling the ball was caught on the fly, and it was not. They're ruling that ball was caught on the fly. Giving a triple play to Houston. I can't believe it.
But all that craziness aside, the Phillies were fighting for their lives. With the hourglass dwindling, the Phillies came to bat in the eighth and trailing 2-0.
Pitch on the way to Rose, bouncing ball right side. It has eyes. It goes through. Being waved around is the lead man, Gross. He's going to score. Play to third, not in time. Play to second, not in time. Runners second and third. Phillies trail the game 2-1. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball back the middle. It's gloved by Morgan. No throw. Everybody safe. Tie ball game. Ready to go. At the belt. The 1-2 pitch to Trio. Punch shot right field being charged. And that ball is caught. The runners are tagging. Here's the throw to the plate. Rose scores.
But the Astros tied it up in the ninth. And this one was headed for extra innings. In the tenth, Pete Rose started things with a single. Then, with pinch hitter Greg Luzinski at bat, Astros catcher Bruce Bochy was about to find out what it's like to play against Pete Rose.
The 1-0 pitch. Driven to left field. Hard hit ball down into the corner. That ball one hops against the fence. Here comes Pete Rose digging around third. He's going to keep right on going. Here's the play at the plate. He scores! He knocked Bochy over. The throw was there, but he knocked him over. Bochy didn't hold the ball, and the Phillies lead the game.
Manny Trio followed with another key hit that scored Luzinski, and the Phillies were on their way to tying up this series with a 5-3 victory. In Game 5, the Phillies again found themselves on the short end of the score, entering the eighth inning trailing 5-2. But as they had done the day before, they put together an eighth-inning rally, this time tallying five times.
The one strike to Trio. Line drive left field. Base hit. Here comes Avalos to score. Heading for third base is Unser. That ball's in the corner. Here comes Unser for the plate. He's going to score. He goes into third. Manny Trio to third with a two-run triple. Phillies lead the game 7-5.
The Astros refused to quit, and they tied it up in the bottom of the eighth. After a scoreless ninth inning, this one would have to be resolved in extra innings for the fourth game in a row. In the 10th, pinch hitter Del Unser and center fielder Gary Maddox parlayed a pair of doubles into a run, and the Phillies were on top to stay.
Pitch on the way to Maddox. Line drive, center field, sinking, base hit. That ball's in play. Phillies lead. The ball gets Guy Poole. Maddox goes to second.
In the bottom of the 10th, Dick Ruthven, working out of the bullpen on this night, put down the Astros 1-2-3. And the Philadelphia Phillies were the National League champions.
The windup by Ruthven. The 3-2 pitch. Here's a punch shot to center field. Maddox racing over. Yeah! He catches the ball. Phillies win the pennant. The Phillies have won the pennant. The Phillies win the ball game 8-7. They go to the World Series for the first time in 30 years.
We came a long way as a team this year, Richie. You know that as well as anybody. And it took every ounce of everything we had to win this playoff and actually to win our division as well. And I think we're so happy about this, going into the World Series for the first time in so many years. It's the biggest problem we're going to have is getting over these hangovers we're going to have tonight.
I'm very excited. This is the biggest thrill of my life. And like I said, I just want to thank my teammates, the Philadelphia organization, for making it possible for me to make my dream come true of getting a house for me and my family. I'm so excited. I don't know. I think I'm going to have a heart attack.
I was a little worried when they went ahead 3-2, I thought we could still come back. And then when they scored on the wild pitch, I went in and told Larry, really bear down, because one run down, we still got two at bats. Then they come up with Hal got another base hit, triple, driving another run. And, three down at that time is difficult. One's not that quite difficult. You got some guys to get the ball out of the ballpark. But we came back with five, and then I just couldn't believe they tied up into that. But, Cruz is a tremendous hitter, and they got the base runners. And Poole had a great night. And we just didn't get the key guys out in the right situation, except the ninth inning.
I did a lot of praying on that field yesterday and today, and all of my prayers were answered, Harry. And I watched most of that game today. I was a lot of dead weight out there myself. And Manny Trio reached back and played the best game I've ever seen a second baseman play. The best game, bar none, I've ever seen a second baseman play.
They took every ounce of everything this team had. We did it. They said we couldn't beat them down here two games. Got down three runs, this 2-5, right at them.
13 years in the big leagues, and I loved every one of them, but not as much as this year.
I feel so happy for these guys. I think these guys have buried some ghosts that have been following me around a long time. They've been following the 64 team a long time. The John Tight Pants Titus team in 1915, I think we laid them to rest.
So the Phillies were in the World Series for the first time since 1950, and only the third time in their history. They would lock horns with the American League champion Kansas City Royals and attempt to win their first championship ever. Game 1 of the World Series was played at Veterans Stadium on Tuesday, October 14th. Because of having to go the full route in the playoffs, the Phillies' pitching situation was not in the best of shape. As a result, rookie Bob Walk would have to do the hurling against Kansas City's 20-game winner, Dennis Leonard. It's unusual to start a rookie in a World Series. So unusual that it had been 28 years since it had happened, when Joe Black towed the rubber for the Brooklyn Dodgers. But then again, this had been an unusual season for the Phillies. At the outset, things looked bleak for the Phils, as Amos Otis and then Willie Akins cracked two-run homers to give the Royals a 4-0 lead. But in the third, the Phillies came roaring back. It started with the bats of Larry Boa, Bob Boone, Lonnie Smith, and a fielding mix-up by the Royals' George Brett.
Dennis Leonard winds, and the 2-2 pitch to Boa. Swing, base hit, center field. Boa has the Phillies' first hit of the World Series. To that point, Dennis Leonard had retired 7 Phils in a row. There goes Boa. The pitch to Boone, a called strike, throw to second. Not in time, stolen base, Larry Boa. The pitch to Boone. Swing, line drive, fair ball down the left field line, going to the corner. Boa rounding third, he'll score. Boone at second base with a double. Line line drive, base hit left field. Bob Boone will stop at third base. Wilson's throw comes into Brett. Lonnie Smith stumbles, rounding first base. Smith now caught between first and second as Brett chases him down. Boone is going to try to score, and he does. Boone safe at home. The tag at first base by Akins. Smith is out, but the Phillies trade an out for a run.
That made the score 4-2, but it also cleared the bases. However, the Phillies were far from through. First, Pete Rose was hit by a pitch, and then Mike Schmidt walked, bringing to the plate Bake McBride.
Pitch to Bake McBride. Fastball, swing and a long drive. Deep right field. Way back. It is out of here. Home run, Bake McBride. Phillies have taken a 5-4 lead.
In the fourth, the Phillies made it a 6-4 ball game. With a runner on third and two outs, Bob Boone, who already had one RBI for the night, played it another.
Leonard winds a 3-1 pitch to Boone. Swing and a drive to right field. It's in for extra bases. Brent Hurdle chasing. Trio scores. Boone on his way to second. He's there with a double. And Bob Boone has his second run batted into the ballgame.
Meanwhile, Bob Walk had settled down since being touched for the two home runs and was pitching good baseball.
Now the pitch to Akins. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Bob Walk has just put down the Royals in order here in the fifth. And Walk has retired six Kansas City batters in a row.
Walk finally weakened in the eighth when Willie Akins hit his second two-run home run in the game to make it a 7-6 game. Out of the bullpen came the ubiquitous Tug McGraw to shut the door. And the Phillies had captured the first game of the 1980 World Series.
The 2-2 pitch to Willie Wilson. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Tug McGraw, as he has done so often, saves the first game of the 1980 World Series. Phillies win 7-6. Go one up over the Royals.
Game two figured to be the pitching masterpiece of the series, pitting the Phillies' 24-game winner, Steve Carlton, against the Royals' outstanding left-hander, Larry Gura. The game was scoreless through the first four innings, but Lefty was struggling. However, when he needed it, he had it, and the Phillies' defense took it from there.
Brett moves off second, Hal McCray off first with one down. Carlton gets his sign from Bob Boone. There's a stretch by Lefty, and the pitch to Amos Otis. Curveball, ground ball, shortstop, might be two. Bowen to 3-0-1, the relay, yes, double play, and the Phillies get out of the inning. It's still a nothing-nothing ball game.
Meanwhile, Gura was outstanding, retiring the first 13 batters to face him. In the fifth, he suddenly lost it, and the Phillies capitalized.
The pitch to Moreland, ground ball in the hole, Washington backhands, long throw, not in time. Keith Moreland, the base hit, he becomes the Phillies' first base runner off Larry Gura. Swing, a line drive, it's fair down the left field line, heading for the corner. Keith Moreland rounding second on his way to third. Heading for second base. He's safe there with a stand-up double. A high fly ball, deep right. That should score the run. Jose Cardenal back near the warning track. Makes the grab. Moreland tags. He'll score easily. Maddox moving from second to third after the catch. And the Phillies lead it 1-0. Swing and a line drive. It's a hit to left. Gary Maddox scores, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
The Royals finally got to Carlton in the sixth for a run. It could have been more except for that Phillies combo of Boa to Trio to Rose as they reeled off their third double play of the night.
Here's a stretch by Carl. The pitch to White. Swing, a hard ground ball right at Boa. Might be two to 3-0-1. Relay, double play. Phillies still lead 2-1. Carlton gets out of a big jam here in the sixth.
The Royals were too good a team to be repelled too many times. In the seventh, Lefty lost his control, walking three batters, and the end result was three runs that gave Kansas City a 4-2 lead. But there was no panic with the Phillies. They had been in this situation before and had survived. In the eighth, with the Royals' ace reliever Dan Quisenberry on the mound, they opened up with a four-run assault that gave them a 6-4 lead to send the city of Philadelphia into a state of unknown euphoria.
Boone at first base with a walk and nobody out. Del Unser facing the side-wheeling Dan Quisenberry. Here's the pitch to Unser. Swing and a drive in the gap in left center field. Otis chasing, can't get it. Going all the way back to the fence. Here's Boone rounding third. He's being waved home. Boone scores. Unser at second with a clutch pinch double. Quisenberry's pitch to McBride. Swing a high-bounding ball. pitch to Moreland. Swing and a line drive. It's a base hit to left center field. Here's Mike Schmidt being waved around third. He scores, and the Phillies lead it 6-4.
In the ninth, Big Ron Reed rambled out of the bullpen, and as McGraw had done the night before, he blew the Royals away, and the Phillies were up 2 games in this World Series.
Ron Reed trying to lock up game 2 of the World Series. Here's a stretch by Big Ron. The 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. John Wampen goes down swinging, and the Phillies win 6-4 and now lead the Royals 2-0.
Now it was on to Kansas City for the next 3 games. In Game 3, the Phillies again came from behind to tie the contest. But this was not to be their night, as the Royals would win the game in 10 innings. The next afternoon, the Royals tied up the series at 2 games apiece with a 5-3 victory. However, something very meaningful occurred in this game as far as the Phillies were concerned. It was in the 4th inning, and the Royals' George Brett was at bat against the Phillies' Dickie Knowles.
The 0-2 pitch to Brett. Look out! George Brett has to hit the dirt on a high inside fastball, and Brett goes down in a hurry at home plate. Here comes Jim Frey, Kansas City manager, out of the dugout, and he is hot. He talks first to Don Dankinger, and now is looking out at Dickie Knowles. Pete Rose coming in from first base, now trying to get between Frey and Dickie Knowles. Frey is really upset. I have never seen a manager react to a pitch like that. Frey is still out there as Dickie Knowles came high and tight right at George Brett's head with an 0-2 pitch. Brett had to really hit the deck. Brett, meanwhile, is standing at home plate.
To many across North America and throughout the baseball world, Knowles was cast as a villain. But the ballplayers knew what was happening.
Here's the windup by Knowles. 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Brett goes down swinging, and that's 2 down here in the 4th.
To that point, the momentum, or as the players might say, the Big Mo, had been in the Royals' favor. Someone had to stem the tide, halt it. Knowles' purpose pitch did the job. From that moment on, the Royals would be as docile as lambs, scoring only 4 runs in the final 22 innings of the series. In Game 5, the Phillies sent their September sensation Marty Bystrom to the mound to be opposed by the wily veteran Larry Gura. For 3 innings, they matched each other. Then in the 4th, the Phillies took the lead.
Here's the pitch to Schmidt. Fastball, swing, and a high towering drive to deep right center. Otis going way back. This ball is out of here. Home run, Mike Schmidt, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
The Royals finally got on the scoreboard in the 5th. And in the 6th, they came up with 2 more to take a 3-2 lead. It could have been more except for a perfect relay throw by Manny Trio from Bake McBride to cut down Darryl Porter at home plate.
Fastball swing and a long drive to deep right field. Bake McBride going away back. He'll never get it. Off the fence. Here's Darryl Porter being waved around third. Manny Trio's relay throw, and Porter is out at home plate. What a great throw by Trio. Manny Trio's brilliant relay throw has cut down Darryl Porter at the plate.
It remained a 1-run ball game as the innings wound down and both teams went to their aces out of the bullpen. Quisenberry for the Royals, McGraw for the Phils. Finally, it was the top of the ninth. Last call for the Phillies. Mike Schmidt got things started with an infield hit. Now Del Unser was at the plate. Unser had already had 1 big hit in the series off Quisenberry. Could he do it again?
Here's the pitch to Unser. Swing and a smash past Akins and down the right field line. Mike Schmidt is heading for third base, being waved around third. Here is the relay throw to the plate, and Schmidt is safe at home plate. Phillies have tied the game here in the 9th, 3-3. Del Unser, another clutch pinch double.
Unser eventually moved to third, and with 2 outs and Manny Trio at the plate, he would score.
Here's the pitch to Trio. Swing and a smash back of the mound off the glove of Quisenberry. Brett picks up the ball, throws, not in time. Unser scores, and the Phillies lead it 4-3.
In the bottom of the ninth, McGraw seemed to be struggling as he loaded the bases on walks. But when he needed it most, it was there.
Bases loaded with Royals, 2 down, bottom half of the ninth inning. Phillies lead by a run. It all boils down to Tug McGraw and ex-teammate Jose Cardenal. A dog is ready. A 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Phillies win by a score of 4-3. Tuck McGraw wins another one. And the Phillies are now up on Kansas City. 3-2 and going back to Philadelphia.
So now it was back to Philadelphia and history. In Game 6, the Phillies sent Steve Carlton to the mound while the Royals countered with right-hander Rich Gale. The game was scoreless through two innings, when in the third, with the bases loaded, Mike Schmidt, who would be the series MVP, put Philadelphia on the board.
From the windup, here's the pitch to Schmidt. Swing and line drive, hit right center field. Boone scores. Here's Lonnie Smith being waved around. He scores, and the Phillies lead it 2-0.
In the fifth, the Phillies made it a 3-0 ballgame, and in the sixth, they upped the count to 4-0.
Here's the pitch by Splittor. Swing and line drive left field. It's a fair ball going to the corner. Larry Boa rounding first on his way to second. He's there with a stand-up double. The 0-1 pitch to Boone. Curveball. Swing and a line drive hit the center field. Boa rounding third. He's going to score. And the Phillies now lead 4-0. And the 65,000 plus here at Veterans Stadium can smell a world championship.
Meanwhile, Carlton was back in mid-season form as he whistled through the Royals' batting order. But in the eighth, Carlton, who was now up to 331 innings pitched for the season, tired. And the Royals got to him for a run. Once more, out of the bullpen, came the Tugger.
McGraw trying to reach back one more time. Tug has the sign. Here's the 3-2 pitch to McCray. Swinging a ground ball to second base. Tug should be out of the inning. Three on the Rose. Yes, he is. Phillies still lead 4-1.
The Royals were fighting for their baseball lives. In the ninth, they again loaded the bases with one out. But there would be no call from the governor. Their execution was about to be completed.
Tug McGraw trying to reach back one more time. One out. Frank White standing in. Tug has the sign. Here's the pitch to White. Swing and a high pop foul near the Phillies dugout. Rose and Boone both there. Boone blocks the ball. Rose grabs it. What an incredible play. Pete Rose grabbed the ball after Boone dropped it. And there's two outs here in the ninth. 65,000 plus on their feet at Veterans Stadium. The Tugger needs one more. One more out. Willie Wilson standing in. Base is loaded. 1-2 pitch. Veterans Stadium. All of the fans are on their feet. The city has come together behind the baseball team, the Philadelphia Phillies. Tug McGraw being mobbed by his teammates. Who better than Tugger to finish the 1980 World Series? Phillies are world champs. This city knows it. This city loves it.
Less than 24 hours later, the Philadelphia Phillies and more than 1 million of their faithful convened in a parade and celebration unmatched in sports history. It was truly a love-in between a city and its team.
Philadelphia Phillies, world champions of baseball. Who guided this band of world champions, Phillies manager Dallas Braves.
We're number one! Yes, we are! You people are beautiful, and this baseball team is beautiful. Thank you, thank you.
Most valuable player of the 1980 World Series. He'll be the most valuable player of the National League. Michael Jack Schmidt.
Thank you. Y'all chose me. Your true colors today. I never saw so many sincere faces in that parade in my life as I did today. Take this world championship and savor it, because you all deserve it.
Who's got to finish it? Who's going to finish the celebration? The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. Tug McGraw.
All through baseball history, Philadelphia has had to take a back seat to New York City. But New York City, we're number one!
On May 1st, 1883, the Phillies played their first game. And now, 97 years, 5 months, and 21 days later, they have finally reached the summit. They are the world champions of baseball.
It's the Phillies. It's the Phillies.